Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. If we get to the end of the service and then we get into the business meeting and anyone feels faint for lack of nourishment, I don't want you to be concerned. I keep plenty of food here. And I keep it all over the place. I've got it in my office and I've got it downstairs. So if you fall over, we'll come to your aid with a granola bar. I ate all the Little Debbies, so... And last time I went to the store, I was standing in the Little Debbie aisle just looking at them. It's like going to Toys R Us for me. And I'm standing there and I'm looking at them and I'm like, now you know you've been saying you need to get some weight off. This is where it begins. And I walked out of that store. I was grocery shopping for the church, for my lunch here at the church, not for home. But I was like, you probably shouldn't keep Little Debbies at the church anymore. So I want you to pray that I can keep that up. I'm not feeling too confident in that decision. Galatians chapter 3, and find verse 6, please, and we'll read verses 6 through 18. The Bible says, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which have faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. I like the first part of that verse the best. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet it, if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not into seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 400, or excuse me, my inflection there would lead you to believe something wrong about that verse. Let me go back. I got in a hurry. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Whew, lot there. Last Sunday evening, we looked at verses 1 through 5 in this chapter, in chapter 3, and we looked at the questions that Paul asked. Pardon me. And if you were here, you'll remember that each one of those verses, verses 1 through 3, is a specific question. And the questions that he asked were this. Remember, he's dealing with people who put their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, and then they started believing this teaching that you also had to do works to stay saved. That you had to, you could put your faith in Christ, but you still needed to obey the law. And it can't be both. It has to be one or the other. And this morning, what we're looking at, he just goes even further in explaining how the law can't do it. It can't get it done. It cannot save you. And we'll look at that a little bit more here in just a minute. But he asked these questions in the first part of this chapter that we looked at last week. And first of all, he asked them, who hath bewitched you? So basically, who fooled you? Who tricked you into believing this strange, new, weird doctrine? Who got you to thinking that now that you're saved by grace and you have liberty, that now you still have to obey the law? Who did that to you? And then he asked a question in the second verse. Now, this is my paraphrasing here. Basically, he asked in the second verse, he called to their memory, how did you get saved? Did you get saved by obeying the law, or did you get saved by putting your faith in Jesus Christ alone? And then he asked them, if works couldn't save you, how could they keep you saved? In verse 3, the question that he's asking there is, how could you stay saved by works if those works couldn't save you to start with? And then the fourth verse, he brings up their suffering that they had suffered after being saved and they were being persecuted. And he's saying, if you suffered because of Christ and he came to save by grace through faith, now you're adding the law. If Christ wasn't enough, you suffered for nothing. You suffered in vain is basically what his question is. Oh, his question is, why'd you suffer? What'd you suffer for? And then finally in verse 5, he asked, don't you remember how it all started? Don't you remember that when I came and preached to you and you saw the miracles and you saw the wonders and you got saved, don't you remember what I was preaching? I was preaching grace. I didn't preach the law. It wasn't about the law. I preached grace unto you. Faith in Jesus Christ and saved by His grace. That's what I preached to you. Don't you remember that? Is what he's calling into remembrance. And now the thing is, we looked at this last week, is that when you're trying to get a point across, oftentimes one of the best ways to do it is to ask a question. Because when you ask a question, they start thinking. It gets the wheels turning, okay? You could stand there and quote facts and they just have to deal with your facts. But you start asking questions and it comes from their lips. Now they got to deal with what they've just said. It's coming from them now, okay? So he's asking these questions. After asking these questions, Paul takes their attention and he fixes it way back in the past, okay? This man that the Jews love so much to look back to, and they have so much pride when it comes to this man. And he takes the focus of this church and he puts it back on Abraham. And he's saying, let's look back to Abraham. You know, the Jews, they loved looking back to Abraham. Okay? They loved looking back to Abraham. They had a lot of pride. They thought that since Abraham was the father of their race, that their salvation was sealed and that put them in good standing with God just because they were Jews. As a matter of fact, in the book of Hebrews, and the book of Hebrews doesn't tell us right out who wrote it, but it's a common agreement that it was the Apostle Paul, because you look at the writing style and compare it to what he wrote, and it looks like the Apostle Paul wrote it. He just didn't put his name on it. Okay? One of the things that he deals with, because it's dealing with the Jews, the book of Hebrews is dealing with the Hebrews, one of the things that he deals with is Abraham, and he points out, the theme of the book of Hebrews is Christ is better. He's better than the law. He's better than the angels. He's better than Abraham. And you have to go. He had to go back to Abraham because he knew the pride that they had and how stuck on Abraham that they were. So here he's dealing with a group, and they're in Galatia. So probably all or a lot of Gentiles in this church. But he's dealing with this group, and he whoever he's dealing with here, he's looking back to Abraham. And he's saying, let's think about Abraham and the promise that was given unto him. Okay? The Jews like to look back to Abraham. So let's look back to Abraham and the promise that was given unto him. Let's do that this morning. In verse number 6, he says, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And that's really all that has to be said, but he goes on to just give even more facts and more proof. But really, that right there ought to be enough. Abraham did what? Believed God. He believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. What did he believe? He believed at that time, he believed promise that a Messiah, Jesus Christ, was going to come one day and die for the sin of the world. He believed that. He put his faith in that. He believed what God was saying, and he was saved. That is what he believed, and it was accounted, or in, I believe it's Hebrews, it says it was imputed unto him. Here it says was accounted to him for righteousness. You see, we have to have the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the payment that he paid for our sins, we have to have that accounted unto us, don't we? It has to be put on our account. It has to be put on my debt, on my bill. Okay? And it was with Abraham. Now, when did all this happen? Abraham was saved by grace through faith. Was he not? That's how we're saved. Grace through faith. Abraham could not have been saved by the law. Why? There was no law. Hadn't been given yet. Hadn't been given yet. The law was given to Moses. And we got a ways. We've got hundreds of years before we get to Moses. And I know some of you think the way I go through some of these books, we're going to be hundreds of years getting through Galatians. If you don't quit laughing, we will be. Actually, we're moving through Galatians. The law was after Abraham. Abraham, God looked at Abraham and considered him righteous because he believed. It was before the law. So if the law is required to save us, if we need the law to be saved, if we have to obey the law to be saved, not only are we in trouble because we can't keep it, Abraham was in trouble because he didn't even know what it was. He had no idea what it was. Adam and Eve didn't know what it was. Noah didn't know what it was. They didn't have the law. They're in trouble. But see, my God is a fair and a just God. And that's not how he deals with man. He didn't leave them for hundreds of years with no way to be saved. Salvation has always been from Adam to the very last man or woman or child that will be saved, it has always been grace through faith. By the grace of God, he saves me because I put my faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. He died in my place for my sin. And I trust him. I also want to point out something else here that I wasn't really thinking about until just now. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Let's read again. Even as Abraham believed God and came to the front of the church and knelt at the altar and cried a bucket of tears, and then the pastor told the church that he'd just been saved. No. Now, if you have a Bible in your hands that says that, we're going to talk about versions afterwards. Even as Abraham believed God and signed a decision card and put it in the offering plate, even as Abraham never missed a church service, even as Abraham, Baptist, even as Abraham said the sinner's prayer, that's nowhere to be found in the Bible. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch, no sinner's prayer. What must I do? They told him to believe. And he said, I believe. And he said, oh, now you can be baptized. Remember the thief on the cross? Did Christ say, dear Jesus Christ, I this, would you please? And there was none of this unscriptural, come into my heart, I'll give you my life, all that. He looked at Christ, the thief on the cross looked at Christ and he said, remember me. And he said, you'll be with me in paradise today. You know why? He believed that is the Son of God right there dying for my sin, and I'm going to trust in him. I believe most people are saved before they ever pray. Do you? You believe most people are saved before they ever pray a prayer? They're not going to pray unless they've already believed, unless they've already, yes, that right there, I believe that. I put my faith in that. Went and visited a man one time. His daughter had been coming to church, not here, another church. His daughter had been coming to church and wanted the pastor to go and visit his parents. And the mother, she wanted to come, but she would really like for her husband to go. And so the pastor and I went over and visited with him and everything and talked and went through the gospel with him and everything. And on the way home, the pastor said, you know, I think he might be saved. He didn't mean maybe one day. It sounded like back here at the house, he was putting his faith in Jesus Christ. Came church next Sunday, walked the aisle, went to the altar. We're not saying there's anything wrong with that. We're saying that too many churches act like that's what you have to do. If that doesn't happen, you're not saved. Okay, then you're going to have to show me that in the Bible. But he came church, walked the altar. Church told everybody he'd been saved. Later on, he got baptized. He and I became good friends. And I remember saying to him one time, I said, you know, I think you were saved before you ever walked that aisle. Because you'd already believed. You'd already put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Look, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. No law. No church building. No altar. No nothing. God gave him the promise, and he said, I believe. And he was putting his faith and trust in what God had said, and that was, there's going to be someone one day die for the sin of the world. And it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So there was not a law at that time that he could obey. Okay? There was not a law that he could obey. But he still needed to be saved, because Romans 5:12 tells us what? That all have sinned. If we're saved by the law, everyone before the law is in deep trouble. And all the Gentiles, since the law, that knew nothing about the law. Remember what God said in His Word through the Apostle Paul? He said, having not the law, they are a law unto themselves. You know why? You know why without the law you're still guilty? Because we're born sinners and we have a conscience that lets us know right from wrong. And I know the conscience is sometimes with some people it's been seared, and some people it's not as tender as others, but it's something God puts inside of us all to know, hey, something's wrong. Okay? Abraham believed God. Salvation is absolutely by grace through faith. Turn to Genesis chapter 12 with me, please, and let's look at this. Where this happened. I really like to cross-reference. I like to look back when something is mentioned in one part of Scripture about another part. I always like to go and see it. I always like to go and read about it. It gives you more understanding, helps you to understand it. Chapter 12 and verse 3 of Genesis says, here's where the promise was given to him. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Okay, all families there is talking about all nations. Everybody. How's everybody going to be blessed in Abraham if we're not all Jews? He's the father of the Jewish nation. He's the father of the Hebrews. And how's everybody going to be blessed here by him? Because through the Hebrews, through the Jewish nation, we have who? Jesus Christ. He was born a Jew. God chose. That's why the Jews are so important to God. That's the race, that's the nation that he said, I will bring about the Messiah through this line. Now, when I say bring about, I mean when he came in earthly form. Christ has always been in existence. We realize that. Jesus, that was his name in physical form. So I am going to take this one line of people and I'm going to bring about, the body of Jesus Christ and provide salvation through His death, burial, and resurrection. Now, how are all nations blessed in that? Because every single person, no matter where you were born, no matter how you were born, no matter what your life has been, no matter how you were raised, every single person has the offer of salvation right there on the table before them. Jew, Gentile, no matter what your lineage is. Lineage is a funny thing because especially in our country, man, we don't know who's what anymore, do we? Really? You say, I'm 1/16th of this, and I'm 1/8th Cherokee, and then I'm 1/9th. Seriously? I didn't even know my last name was an English name. For years, I thought it was a German name. I didn't even know where my last name came from. When people try to say, you know, they have this, the big thing now is this whole DNA and tracing your roots and everything, and PBS has this, PBS has created what I believe to be one of the most entertaining shows ever. It's been on for years, called Antiques Roadshow. You've probably seen Antiques Roadshow. Man, I could watch that thing I watch that thing all day. I get all excited, and every time something is like $100,000, I'm yelling at the TV, I'm like, sell it! You bought it at a yard sale, sell it. Grandma left it to them. I could kind of understand not selling it, but they're like, oh, I gave dollars for this at the yard sale. Well, you know, it's worth $500,000. Oh, I'm going to hang on to that. You're stupid. You are stupid. Well, now there's a new one. It's not near as exciting. I don't even like the commercials for it. It's called Genealogy Roadshow. And they go into this town and somebody comes in and I guess they prick their finger and get a little bit of information about their DNA and everything, and then they trace them back and they're like, oh, your father, your great-great-grandfather, whoever, you know, was this and this, and it's all these fascinating things, you know, and it's... You know why you have to dig? Because so many of us have so many different nationalities and everything in us. So aren't you glad that salvation is for every tongue, every nation, every group of people? You see, in the Bible, you have two divisions. You have the Jews and you have the Gentiles. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile, no matter where you're from. And salvation is for all of us. That's why He said, in Abraham shall all the families be blessed. Because it was through the Jews that we got the Messiah. Okay, we got Jesus Christ that died for our sins. And since He died for everybody, we're all blessed in that if we'll put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. Verses 10 through 12. I'm jumping. 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Okay, we did read that, and then we went back to Genesis 12:3 and looked that up. So 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which were written in the book of the law. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Okay, so verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which were written in the book of the law to do them. So what's that saying? It's saying if you're trusting in the law to save you, you're cursed, you're stuck, you're not going to get anywhere, the law isn't going to save you because you would have to fulfill every single point of the law, every single second. I couldn't do it in my sleep. I could not do it in my sleep. If I didn't leave the house, if I just stayed in the basement, I couldn't do it. So what this verse is saying is, if you are trusting in the law to save you, you're stuck. You're cursed, because the only way that could happen is if you obeyed every single point, all the time, perfectly. Now the problem is, we think back and we think, law, 10 commandments. Yeah, there's only 10 of them. There's only 10 of that set that we call the moral law. The law has like over like 600 or 700. I don't even remember how many. There are hundreds of laws in the law. There's ceremonial laws, and then there's the moral law. They just go on and on and on and on and on. It would take me. I used to have a really good memory. Amy used to say that I, you know how they say elephants have good memories? Okay, I get that that's what everybody says, but what in the world does an elephant have to remember? I mean, where the watering hole is? So like, oh, elephants have great memories. Okay. But Amy used to say, oh, he's like an elephant. Now she says that because I'm gaining weight. Now she says that because I bring home little Debbie's. Oh, he's like an elephant. He's got me. I used to, I could just remember. I could remember all kinds of stuff. No, not so much anymore. It has nothing to do with being 36. It has to do with a 16-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 3-year-old is what it is. That's it. Every parent's like, amen. Preach on that, brother. Used to have a really good memory. Look, if you had the best memory of anyone that ever lived, you'd have a hard time remembering every single one of those. You'd have to study the law every day to make sure that, I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And if we slip in just one of them, remember what Christ told us in the New Testament? If we offend in just one, we're guilty of breaking all of them. Okay? Then let's just deal with those 10. Let's just deal with the first one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, we get that this was given to the nation of Israel. But there are moral principles that can be applied to us today. We don't apply remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Okay? Because today is not the Sabbath. People say, oh, well, that's Sunday for us. No, it isn't. The Sabbath has never had anything to do with the church ever. Okay? That was completely the nation of Israel. But we can take the principles from the other 9 and ask ourselves, have I done that? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Have you, from birth till now, always made God number one reigning over everything in your life and never put anything above him? There's not a single person nodding like this, but most people are. Shall we move on? Shall we move on to number 2 and number 3? We don't have to, do we? Want to get down to bearing false witness? Want to get down to coveting and all? We can't get past the first one. And look what this verse says. Look what this verse says. Chapter 3 is dealing with the bondage of the law and how heavy it is and how cumbersome it is. And then we do all this work and it still can't save us. But look at what this verse says. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not. So if you don't do in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. So it's saying if you don't continue, constantly do everything that the law says, you're cursed, you're sunk, you're done. And we all, the Bible tells us we can't do it. Tells us we can't be justified by the law. And we all would admit that. Look, those of you that are saved, okay? Those of you that are saved, how have you done keeping them? What's your track record since you got saved? You kept them all perfectly since you got saved? Anybody would like to raise their hand and say, I have, we'll have a meeting after the meeting. I think there is some scripture you don't understand. No. You know why? This flesh. Because it's sinful. I'm dead to it. But it still has a mind of its own, doesn't it? Satan still attacks. We're not always filled with the Spirit like we should be. So the law, we're going to end with this. There is, it'd be 12 o'clock if I preached the whole sermon. We'll finish it up tonight. We'll leave it with this morning. One more reason why the law doesn't save, okay? Two reasons we've looked at this morning. We've looked at the law doesn't save because the people before the law, they were saved by faith in God. Okay? So all those people were saved without the law. And then the law can't save because we would have to obey it perfectly every second. And the second that we don't, then we're cursed. And we all can say, man, I couldn't do it. So then that brings us to a point, and we'll get into this more as we go on into Galatians, since we're going to finish this sermon up tonight. What we were going to deal with tonight, we'll deal with it next Sunday morning. But it brings us to a point where we say, I'm toast. I'm done. Here I am. Man, I can't do it. I can't be good enough for God. I just can't. I can't do it. I can try, but I can't be good enough. I can't obey that. I can't be perfect all the time. You know what? I cannot do it. One preacher said it like this, and man, I really like this. I've said it to you before. The law says, do better, do better, do better. Man says, honest man says, I can't, I can't, I can't. Jesus Christ says, I did, I did, I did. So now he can reach up and take God the Father in one hand and reach down and get fallen humanity in the other hand and be that bridge and be that sacrifice and be that substitution, because he did it. He did it. It's like going to the, oh, whatever that gym is out there on 3rd Street. Anytime Fitness or whatever it is, or the YMCA or one of those gyms or something. It's like me walking in there with somebody that, you know, has a membership and I don't, okay? Brother John and I walk in and it's obvious he has a membership and it's obvious I don't. They're like, oh, John works out here all the time. So we walk in and they say, who are you? Where's your membership card? I don't have one. I'm here with him. You know how we get to heaven? Jesus Christ and those nail-scarred hands and that nail-pierced side. And if we put our faith in him, we can say, I'm with him. And if his blood is on us, he says, it's all right, Father, they're with me. They're with me. So you go into the Y or the health club or the Sam's Club or whatever, and you're like, man, I don't belong here. I'm not a member. None of us belong there. But Christ says, come on, I belong here, and you're with me. And that now makes you a member. That on my merit, you can get in here. We have to know that before we get saved. We have to keep that in mind after we get saved. Works couldn't save me. Works can't keep me. It's all about the shed, precious, perfect blood of Jesus Christ. Let's close there. We'll finish out that chapter tonight. Unless y'all would like to go ahead, would you like to go ahead and finish it out? We'll be done about maybe 2 o'clock this afternoon when we get done with the meeting and everything. I told you I've got food here.